Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
All right, let's go right back to the phones. And joining us from Tightline Outdoors is Matt Ensley. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Terry.
I understand you're on the water. Is that right?
I am in my boat catching some smallmouth right now.
You know, I don't know how much you heard of what I was talking about there, but it's been a crazy year as far as timing the seasons. We didn't get any warm weather till virtually the last day of June. It was cold and wet and spring-like. It put the fish migrations, put the bait fish spawning out of whack. Even some of the upland game were behind in their broods. And it was a very difficult time. If you used last year's playbook, you were killing yourself out on the water. You had to adapt, but the fishing was good. You just had to figure it out. Then we got July and August that were hotter than all heck, and fall's coming in a little late. What are you experiencing?
Well, summer patterns have been going right up till today. Water temperatures have begun to decline. I'm looking at a 64-degree temperature at Chatfield, down from 70. So it is started. The night temperatures caused that to begin, and we should probably see a drop in water temperature of roughly approximately 3/4 to 1 degree a week, right on into, you know, October and November, to where these temperatures get down to 50 degrees. But we are starting to see some of the jigging patterns begin to produce, moving away from night crawlers and leeches and bait bites to jigging wraps and blade baits. And right now I'm using a tube bait to catch a smallmouth here off the rocks at Chatfield.
How is it going? Chatfield has a lot of smallmouth. Are you able to sort through and get a few nice ones there?
Yeah, you know, you're going to catch 20 or 30 if you come out here and do this, fishing the rocks. I like to fish the edge of the rocks where it transitions from the rock into the basin itself, and that's about 15 to 20 feet, and you'll catch larger fish by doing that. If you fish up shallow on those rocks and 10 feet or less, you're going to catch a lot of small fish, but stay deeper and throw a tube bait, and they will not leave it alone.
You know, let's take people through how we always talk to baits, and you and I assume, and we know how we rig them. And there's variations. You can put the jig head outside of the tube, inside of the tube, depending on whose tube you're using. You can use different length tubes, different colors, and different weights of jig heads. What particular do you like to use in a moment? I know it varies, but what are you using right now? Kind of explain your process in choosing that.
If I'm fishing deep, I like to go with the 3/16 tube jig that slides inside the tube. If I'm fishing up in the rocks, sometimes I'll switch to a lighter jig, 1/4 ounce, even 3/16, or Texas rig the tube, which makes it relatively weedless in the rocks, as weedless as you can get. And those are the techniques and the jigs and style of hooks that I'm using right now.
You know, a lot of people don't Texas rig tubes. They think you have to put them on a jig head. A largemouth bass, a tube, it can be one of my favorite. I throw it a lot of times instead of a jig into the cover where you put a sliding weight. You may or may not peg it, but you can actually kind of come through the tube all the way is what I do, and then hook the point back in to kind of what we call Tex-Pose rig it. Is that what you do?
Absolutely. You want to get that hook penetrated through that bait before you start fishing it.
And then the other thing with the tube, because of its hollowness, you tend to get very good hook sets with it.
Yep. I haven't missed many fish this morning, and they're still biting. They bite all day. Water temperatures are perfect when you get down the 60s and right on down the 50s. You know, I've been out here at Chatfield in the days before they closed it at the end of November in December, and had some excellent days for walleye throwing jerk baits. So if you love a fall bite, the temperatures have cooled off, get out here, not just Chatfield, all of our metro lakes. Cherry Creek's starting to produce some nice fish. And Pueblo is an excellent walleye lake. And we're still fishing spinny up in the mountains for those giant trout.
So what are some of the techniques you're using in some of these different places?
Well, for the trout, I use two techniques. When you catch them shallow, and they have been extremely shallow at Spinney, we're catching them anywhere from 2 to 5 feet of water on tube baits again, but the color changes. We use a white tube bait and 3.5 inch, and we use a 3/16 ounce and work it very aggressively, jerking it, letting it fall, jerk, jerk, fall, pause, reel up slack, jerk again. And they, those big giant trout, I mean 5, 6, 7 pound trout, just slam it.
Now, at Spinney, do you have to use an unscented tube?
Yes, you can't use any scented baits at all. You can use plastic, but no scented baits. So you know, keep that in mind when you're fishing any kind of plastic baits. The second bait that I use at Spinney is a Tasmanian Devil. And you can cast it, but I typically move out into a little deeper water, anywhere from 8 to 10 feet, and troll Tasmanian Devils when the tube bait bite slows a bit. And they just the rod just comes out of the rod holder. In fact, I lost one this past week up there. One jerked it out of the rod holder. But a lot of fun and trophy fish at Spinney. Down here, as I was talking, it's been a bait bite up until today. Today is the first day I've noticed that the bait bite is starting to slow a little bit. And particularly for walleye, they've backed off the road beds and moved to the edges where the drop-off. And a great technique there is the jigging pattern, throw it up on top. Jigging wraps, rip it up, let it fall. Blade baits, same thing, pull on it, let it vibrate, let it fall. They typically hit it when it falls or when you go to move it the next time. They're looking at it, and they just slam it.
And you're seeing great success. I assume that's what we're going to see at lakes up and down the Front Range and out in the east too, like Pueblo and Boyd and, of course, the northeast lakes. But I would think right now, with the weather just changing and all the transitions in the next couple weeks, if I just wanted to catch fish, whether I'm accomplished or not, John Martin, I know you don't fish it a lot, but that would be a hot spot, I think.
Yeah, it's got sockeye, I believe, in John Martin, if I remember correctly,
and some white bass. You can't hardly not catch a white bass out there. It's just incredible. What other types of bites are you seeing? What about Aurora? I know you fish that quite a bit. We don't talk about Aurora much. What's going on out there?
Walleye are still deep. They tend to hang in that 35 to 40 foot range off of the points and humps that exist in the lake. Just go to any of those points on the east side of the lake and they'll have walleye on them. The jumbo perch fishing out there is just phenomenal. Schools of 10, 12 inch perch. You can take your limit home when you find them. You have to drive around and get on top of them. I like to use a drop shot because they can tend to be deep. They will also be shallow first thing in the morning, but as soon as that sun's up, all those fish start to back off into deeper water. So I use a drop shot to get down in the school, no matter what depth they're at, and a piece of night crawler. Or you can just use a small tube bait, and they will whack it, sometimes two at a time, if you've got multiple hooks on your setup, drop shot.
You know, in years past, when those perch tend to cycle through out there, and they've been like this before, then they get a little more stunted, and then they come back, and of course, they're also one of the forage for the walleyes out there. I used to find them roaming through, and I would anchor up, double anchor over a spot, because they would tend to come through. You'd catch a few, then a few minutes later, they'd come through again. Now, with our modern-day electronics and trolling motors, you could use spot lock. Do you use that quite a bit?
I love it. I've got it on all my boats. And as soon as you find the school, sit right on top of them until they move, and then take it off spot lock and troll around until you recontact school again. That's how you put a limit of perch together.
Well, and
the other pants.
Go ahead. I was going to say it's so much easier than lifting anchor and putting it down again.
It's made anchors obsolete, basically. You just don't need them anymore unless you've got some extreme wind that the spot lock has difficulty holding you. It'll try, but as you deplete your battery, you might want to throw an anchor out eventually. I was going to say the other panfish bite that's been going in the fall that I love is crappie. And I use a slip float system with a tube bait, a small 1.5 inch to 2 inch tube bait. White chartreuse seem to be the best colors. and eating smack a lot of crappie. I was doing great on them out at Quincy till they closed the lake this week.
What about bass out at Aurora? Are you seeing bass? Is there any more wipers there? I know they used to be, but I don't think they've stocked it a lot recently. But smallmouth and largemouth bass at Aurora are usually pretty good.
Yes. Well, Aurora holds a state record. I caught one last year on a guide trip that was short of the state record by 4 ounces. I've never seen a smallmouth that big on a jerkbait, and that seems to be the main technique to use out there to catch the smallmouth. It's hard to find them. The reason they get so big in Aurora is there's a lower population of them, so they grow to very large size, 4 and 5 and 6 pound. And there's, I'm sure, another state record over 7 pounds swimming around the Aurora right now. Largemouth, same situation, fewer fish, but you'll find them in the flooded cattails and much shallower using Cinco's, Texas rigged creature baits, and crawfish imitations.
Any last minute bites you want to tell us about? If you were going fishing, well, tomorrow, of course, the Broncos play. That might not be as big a draw as it used to be. And it'll be, you'll have a lot of lake to yourself. And we got some good weather coming up for the week. Give us maybe one, and you probably mentioned Spinney and Chatfield and Cherry Creek, but maybe something we haven't normally talked about that you might head fishing.
Well, my favorite lake to fish coming up in October would be Cherry Creek with blade baits. I've caught the largest walleye of my life out there in the month of October. Find out the full moon date, get out there the week before the full moon, throw blade baits shallow and drag them deep, and you'll catch some giant walleye at Cherry Creek.
All right, my friend, thank you so much for joining us. If people want to book trips with you guys, they can find you on Tight Line Outdoors at both online.com and your Facebook page.
That is correct.
My friend, thank you, and good luck. Keep catching those fish.
Take care.
All right. Matt Ensley from Tightline Outdoors. You know, a lot going on, folks. This is a great time to be out fishing. I mentioned it early. By the way, we're going to be joined after this break by Kirk Dieter, Colorado's own Kirk Dieter, who's a famous, accomplished fly fisherman. He's the editor of Trout Magazine, editor-at-large for Field & Stream, and just an author and just a plethora of knowledge. We'll get him. But it's just so great to be out here. A lot of people are hunting. A lot of kids are in school. You're not going to have the crowds out there, and it can be some of the best fishing of the year, whether you're fly fishing or conventional fishing. And we're going to switch gears and talk a bunch of fly fishing coming up on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.